confidence on the forehand.
No, I don't think that was so much about confidence as about resilience. And we know that about Goff, don't we? She is a fantastic competitor and showing great court coverage. And really, for a lot of that rally, she was just trying to keep pace with Potapova.
It's a long game for Goff. This is 40-15. It's supposed to be a comfortable hold, but... mind you, how much service holds and service breaks on clay? Interesting question from Zach in Urbana, Illinois. I hope I've pronounced Urbana right. Who's asking, following up on the Osaka Sabalenka on clay discussion, you know, can we speak more about what particular demands of what clay makes by way of demands on players that grass and hard courts don't? I mean, the biggest thing is that the ball, when it lands, it just slows up. Because of the sort of dirt surface. It's not dirt, it's basically crushed roof tiles. Goff goes into the corner, very high looping backhand from Potapova, lands just inside the Goff sideline. She goes into out on her forehand, lofted by Potapova to the forehand of Goff. Backhand from Potapova, Goff runs around her backhand and hits a high forehand. They'll be flattened out by Potapova, but she puts it into the net. Doing a little bit of gardening. Yeah, I mean, we talk about this as clay, but if you look at the clay court before they actually put the top dressing on it, it's light yellow. And they basically sprinkle these crush roof tiles. They're like old bricks. And therefore, it's a powdery surface. And therefore, when the ball lands in it, it just slows up. And that's why shots that would go for a winner on grass or hard... just get hit back because there's that extra bit of time for the player to get them back. Goff has held finally because the return of serve went long. That was a long game. Half an hour played and it's 4-3. Potapova still with the break.
Essential for Goff to hold there in the context of already being a breakdown in this opening set. Yeah, the other thing to mention about clay courts versus, for example, grass courts is that the ball bounces much higher on a clay court usually.
Yes.
I mean, you can slice and obviously drop shots can be very effective on both surfaces, but that's one of the main differences.
Drop shots are great on grass and clay. They have to be very good on a hard court because the ball bounces so much higher, which means you've got that much more time to get the ball.
So I always think it's one of the strange peculiarities of the tennis schedule, and there are a few of those, that you put your two radically different surfaces next to each other in the schedule. So players go from clay, which is at one end of the spectrum, and then you move on to grass, which is at the other.
Yes, it is and it isn't. I mean, grass used to be very much the quickest of the surfaces, but the way they play on grass these days, grass is often like a grass surface on a hard court.
Well, the other thing to bear in mind with both clay and grass is that the weather can really have quite a big bearing on how both courts play.
Yes, absolutely. That's...
So if you get a hot Wimbledon, for example, where you get temperatures like this, it will play much more like a hard court.
Yeah.
If it's cool and damp, as it can be in the United Kingdom, then the ball will bounce much lower.
And grass is a quicker and lower bouncing surface in the first 3 or 4 days until some of the chlorophyll and the sap has been taken out of the grass. Looks beautiful on the first day at Wimbledon, but players have to know how to move on it far more than in the second week when it's a much drier surface. Although at grass court tournaments, they do spray water on the court at the end of each day. Very careful about how much they do, but it's... it's a fair bit of water that does go on a grass court. Potapova serving at 4-3 and 15 love. She serves now. Backhand return from Goff to the backhand of Potapova up the line, but into the net.
Austin says, I love listening to your radio coverage during the 2 weeks of Roland Garros. As someone who lives in the middle of America, in Illinois, I love living vicariously through your coverage of the action on court and atmosphere in the city.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm sure it's nice weather in Illinois. Certainly sometimes. And, Chicago's known as the Windy City, isn't it? Is that just a nickname or is its location particularly... Have you been to Chicago?
I haven't been to Chicago.
I spent about 4 hours there when I had a I think, a flight to New Zealand, which had about a 6-hour break. And I thought, well, let's go and see some of Chicago. So I did go into downtown, but didn't spend very long there because I had to get back to the airport. But it wasn't a particularly windy day. But
So it was a non-windy city that day?
I've seen Calamity Jane. So that's informed my picture of Chicago.
I've watched ER. That's about as much as I know about Chicago.
Very good.
It looks lovely, though.
Well, it's because it's on the southern shores of one of the Great Lakes, isn't it?
It is, and that's probably, maybe that's where the wind comes from.
Probably, yes. Potapova at 30 all. Now, this is the chance we said for Goff on the last Potapova service game. Potapova serves, forehand return at the middle of the court. Forehand from Potapova misses, and here is a breakback point for Goff.
30-40.
Potapova very much unhappy with that one. She's gesturing with her arms, letting out a little bit of frustration at missing there. She's played so well up to this point.
Break point for Goff. Potapova serves. Just too long. 35 minutes on the match clock. Potapova serves. Backhand return to the backhand of Potapova. Goff with her backhand goes down the forehand wing. Potapova goes cross court. Forehand from Goff at the middle of the court. Forehand from Potapova. Forehand from Goff. They're both playing a little carefully at the moment. Lofted now by Potapova to the forehand of Goff. Backhand from Potapova. Goff with her backhand cross court. That's flatter, but Potapova's there. Now down the line from Goff, but Potapova's read that one. Forehand from Goff to the backhand of Potapova. It's like a practice drill, this. Backhand up the line from Potapova has missed. And Goff is back level.
Coco Gauff did well to hang in there in that rally, but she can probably count herself a little bit fortunate that Potapova has gone off the boil, at least for now. She started very, very strongly, did the Austrian. A couple of indifferent service games.
Yes, indeed.
Leveled things up. But as we said, Goff, even when she's not playing particularly well, and I don't think she's started that brightly here today, she's incredibly resilient, incredibly tenacious.
Goff serves down the centre just too long. I can tell you that Marcus Buckland is actually sitting in the commentary box with us, and normally I wouldn't mention that because he would be completely silent. The reason he's here is that we've got one of the monitors on the Champions League final. And Marcus is a fan, in case he hasn't told you this, he's a fan of Tottenham Hotspur. And Tottenham's rivals in North London, Arsenal, who are playing Paris Saint-Germain in the final. And Arsenal have just scored. So Marcus's North London loyalty is far more important than his national loyalty.
Let premier service.
And it's not often that he's this quiet.
I'm enjoying that element of it. I mean, we've had a lot of shocks at this tournament, but that is the biggest one by any measure. Marcus being quite quiet and subdued in the corner.
Backhand from Goff to the forehand of Potapova. Forehand from Goff up the backhand wing. Backhand from Potapova. Two-hander from Goff deep to the backhand of Potapova. This is good hitting from both women. Forehand from Potapova cross court. Forehand Goff to the backhand of Potapova. Goff playing with a fair bit of margin here. They gets better depth on that one. Now she goes to the backhand of Potapova. Potapova nets the attempt down the line.
Cancer.
Well, the level has dropped a little bit from Potapova, but it's risen from Goff, I think. She's just looking a little bit more secure.
Also, I think that Goff is playing within herself. You know, I was saying I wasn't sure about how much confidence she has, especially on the forehand, but she's just happy to rally at the moment, not going for the corners. Forehand from Goff, well, she did on that occasion and missed.
15-30.
I suspect she and Jean-Christophe Forel may have worked out that the longer the rallies go, the more Goff is likely to win them. Goff at 15-30, beg your pardon. Not happy with her ball toss. Serves down the centre, backhand, a forehand return, forehand from Goff to the backhand of Potapova. Goff with a flattened backhand, but Potapova is there. Goff with a defensive backhand up the middle, forehand from Potapova is long. She had the open forehand wing.
Well, as you mentioned at the top of this match, they played four times and it's two wins apiece, so Goff will know plenty about how Potapova plays, where the strengths are, but also where the weaknesses are that she can exploit.
Four all, 30 all, opening set. Goff serves out wide. Forehand return is just wide.
Interesting.
Getting looser from bottom over, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, the one match they played on clay in Stuttgart in 2023... That was in the second round. Potapova won that one 6-2, 6-3 in an hour and 17 minutes.
Yeah.
So that would have given her plenty of confidence going into this one. But when it's gone long, they've won one apiece.
Backhand from Potapova to the forehand of Goff. Goff onto the sideline. That was a slightly mishit from Goff, but she gets away with it and holds to lead by 5-4.
Goff. Goffman, 5-4.
Yes, we look at the head-to-head, and it was 2-2, but that was the last match they played was over 3 years ago. So how much that's relevant? For me, the head-to-head is relevant if one player's won about 6-0. I can tell you that Alejandro Tabilo has taken the second set against Moise Kwame early in the third set at the moment. Matteo Berrettini and Francisco Comesaña are 3-3 in the fifth set of their match. Matteo Arnaldi is a setup on Rafael Collignon and has a break, serving at 3-2 in the second. And the match between Juan Manuel Cerúndolo and Martin Landaluce is 2-1 for Cerúndolo, and it's 2-2 in the fourth.
I'd just like to applaud the DJ. This is a very good tune. Diana Ross, I'm coming out. And appropriately enough, Coco Gauff and Anastasia Potapova are coming out to resume this match. Austin says, I live on the other side of the state to Chicago, near the Mississippi River. Chicago does get extremely windy from the lake effect.
Okay, there we go.
Our conversation about Chicago did remind me somewhat of our conversation yesterday about whether young people still call them pop socks.
Oh, right.
And I thought we were similarly out of our depth.
Okay. Yes, well...
But we got through it.
We're not out of depth, it's out of time on that one, actually. So Potapova serving to stay in the first set, and she's missed a backhand now.
Joanne and Paul are in the slightly damp Scottish Borders. We've been for our mountain bike ride. Glad to be back with you in time for the Goff game. I always want Goff to do well, but she always seems to make it rather stressful. And it's a rather stressful listen.
Yes, no, I think that's a very fair comment, but it's less stressful at the moment because she's ahead. 5-4. Backhand from Potapova is netted. And now it's love 30 on the Potapova serve. She turns around and looks up at her team. She can give them some pretty threatening stares at the best of times, but having had such a good start and being now 4-5, love 30. A little less stressful for Goff listeners. Potapova serves, forehand return. Backhand from Potapova, tries to wrong foot Goff. Goff with a sliced forehand. Backhand from Potapova, Goff is there, goes cross court. Lovely volley from Potapova, but it's read by Goff and plays a backhand winner.
Well, that was impressive stuff from Goff.
Great court craft and movement. And knowing how to play on clay, knowing what clay does. 3 set points for Coco Gauff. Potapova serves off the top of the net and beyond the baseline. That must be a very tightly strung net. Second serve. Not coming just yet. The ball was in the air, but Potapova not happy with the ball toss. Second serve now. Oh, it's a double fold. That's a terrible service game. Such a good start to that set from Potapova. And she ends up losing the set 6-4 on a double fold.
That's one of those situations where you'd look at the scoreline as you perhaps walked past the screen in the media centre or somewhere around Roland Garros, and you would have no idea of the story of that set. Because really, Potapova was very much in the ascendancy. And then serve in particular just drifted away from her, didn't it? She went off the boil quite markedly, and Goff raised her game a little bit, but to me that was about Potapova's level just dropping there. And it's a reminder to Goff that this is a dangerous opponent and she's going to need to fight here. And I'm sure she knew that going in, given their head-to-head, and she'll know all about how well Potapova can play on this surface and elsewhere.
Good to see the stadium filling up after people taking their break after that amazing match between Deanne Parry and Amanda Anisimova. Bobby has asked us about single-handers. It's dying out on the men's side, but great to see it going strong on the women's side. I wouldn't say it's going strong, Bobby, but what's good is when you have a couple of young players who hit with the single-hander. And one player you haven't mentioned, we mentioned Golubic and obviously Deanne Parry, but the one that I would actually look at is Lily Tagger, the Austrian. Yes. She's now in the top 100. She's only 19 still. She hits with a one-hander. She was playing with Sara Errani in the doubles. I mean, that must be about a 21-year age gap. They won a round and then lost a very, very tight match to the number 7 seed. But, yes, I mean, I'm keeping an eye on Lily Tagger. It'd be nice. For me, it's just good to have one or two players at the top so that coaches are not made to look stupid if they suggest to a youngster, look, I spent 3 months with you trying a one-hander. See if it actually suits your game better. I'm still slightly baffled that players don't have three backhands these days. A two-hander for playing the ball off the body, a slice backhand, one-handed, and then the topspin, one-handed backhand for when they're driven wide. And maybe that's what actually Deanne Parry is becoming, because she has been playing a two-hander off the body on her return of serve.
Yeah, I mean, that's where you get the best advantage for a two-hander. Yes. It just gives you a much better chance of returning serve.
You don't have time for the full swing on return of serve with a one-hander. You get better racket head speed if you've got time to tee up for it. But you play it slightly further in front of the body than the two-hander, and therefore you have a fraction of a second less to play.
I feel like a strange hand has appeared and started taking over my computer. It's slightly disturbing.
You've got a third hand.
It's like the three backhands. I've got just three actual hands.
Three actual hands.
One of them
belongs
to Marcus, and he's doing all sorts of things to my computer. He's going to break it, isn't he? That's my concern.
Yes.
Reprise.
Jessica, who lives in Chicago. Lived in Chicago for 5 years when she went to university, and 1 year after. When the wind comes off the lake, especially December through to March, it will almost blow you over. Sometimes we'd be trapped inside because we couldn't push the doors of our buildings open again because of the wind. Wow. No wonder it's called the Windy City. Thank you, Jessica.
Lizzie says, it's so interesting to look at the current matches and see how many names I'm not really that familiar with. How exciting to be getting new up-and-coming generation of players. Are there any up-and-comers that you're really excited about?
Backhand from Goff to the backhand of Potapova. Goff with a defensive backhand. Potapova comes in, she'll put that away. She does put it away. I mean, there's plenty here. I have to say Kwame of the ones. You know, we've mentioned various people for different reasons. I mean, the three men who were highlighted at the start of the tournament were Hodar, Kwame and Lander Luthe. I have to say, of those, Kwame has the most exciting game. I find Hodar is very good.
0-30.
But he reminds me of Sinner, of Zverev, of Burdick. It's that kind of very impressive game. I don't see the flair in it the way I do in Kwame's game.
On the women's side, we had Iva Jovic, who lost to Osaka today, but is certainly a rising star.
Yeah, she's still a teenager, isn't she?
She is. 19. I mean, she actually beat another player I'd like to mention, which is Alexandra Iala in the first round.
Yeah.
Now, this may not be her surface, and Iala's results have been a little bit up and down, which is perfectly understandable given where she's at in her career. But the thing with Iala is she's bringing this huge Filipino fan base and Filipina fan base to tennis and opening it up to massive new audiences. And there's a huge buzz around her. We saw it at the Australian Open, didn't we? People queuing up to get in to watch her play. So I think that, to me, is really exciting for the marketing of the sport and the growth of the sport.
And what's interesting about East Asia is that when you get one player, remember Paradorn Srikifan from Thailand? Everybody in that part of Asia got it behind him. Nishikori, Lee Na, So I think if Ayala makes it, certainly into the top 20, she's going to bring an awful lot of people, not just from the Philippines, but from, you know, Malaysia, Indonesia, countries around there who will take an interest in her as representing that part of Asia.
She's also very good, we should mention.
Yes. Big, strong left-hander.
Runner-up at Eastbourne last year.
Backhand from Goff. She's facing break points at the moment. Backhand again to the backhand of Potapova. Goes down the line, but netted.
In fact, she was runner-up to Maya Joint, who's another one of this new generation of young female players coming
yes.
through.
An American who opted to play for Australia a few years ago. I don't know if there's a strong connection there or whether... I mean, we have a lot of players changing nationalities at the moment, don't we? Back in return from Potapova is onto the baseline of Goff. Goff with a lofted forehand. Backhand now from Goff up the middle. Backhand Potapova. Goff with her backhand. Again to the backhand of Potapova. Goff up the middle of the court. Forehand Potapova, but Goff's read this one. Forehand Potapova cross court. Goff's there up the backhand wing. Backhand from Potapova to the forehand of Goff. Forehand Potapova off the frame and long and wide. And Goff is back to deuce, having been love 40.
I think we should ask Courtney Walsh about Maya Joint next time he's on air, because he'll know. He knows stuff like that. He knows Australian stuff.
Well, he'll know Australian tennis, yes.
He knows about Tim Tams.
That's far more important, especially when he supplies us liberally here in the commentary box. Goff at deuce serves down the backhand wing of Potapova. Backhand Goff. Slice from Potapova. Forehand Goff up to the forehand wing. Potapova's there. Forehand Goff. Potapova with her backhand cross court. Goff the two-hander deep to the backhand of Potapova. Forehand Goff. Forehand Potapova. Goff's not getting tremendous depth on her forehand. That's a bit closer to the baseline. Now backhand from Goff up the middle. Backhand from Potapova. Goff to go down the line. Forehand Potapova down the line. Goff corrects. Defensive backhand should be put away by Potapova. It is.
Here's a good question from Zach. He says, thanks for the clay court analysis. Crushed roof tiles. Who'd have thought? Speaking of the adept DJ at this year's Roland Garros, what would your playlist feature if one of you was the DJ?
Well, you may be asking the wrong person in me, actually, because I would probably include some classical tracks in there. I'd probably have the 1812 Overture in there somewhere.
Well, that is a banger.
Yeah, exactly.
As the kids say.
As the...
I mean, literally, it has explosions in it.
Well, it has a real cannon in it, yes.
I mean, I'd like to see that.
Yeah, why not?
Maybe we should hand the DJ decks over to Chris for an evening and see what happens.
It's a great... backing track for some pretty dramatic films.
Yes, yes. I think certain players could have their own theme music.
Well, they often do that. They say to players, some tournaments say to players, what music would you like us to play when you walk out on court? And I suspect half the players would say, I don't care because I don't hear a thing. I've got my own headphones on.
I would like to choose for some players. There's certain players,
so you would
give them, you know, the music in Star Wars when Darth Vader's walking
yes.
around.
Yes.
Bum, 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 bum. Yes. I do that for some players. I'm not going to say whom.
Oh, well, no, come on. You've got to say who.
Some players revel in the sort of villain status and some don't. But I think, you know, there are other players who have a kind of perkiness about them as they walk on court. So you choose something a little lighter.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. The problem is there are some great tunes, but... Because they're great tunes, they get played a lot and they become a little bit cliched. I mean, to me, the Eye of the Tiger is just a great sporting theme, but how often do you hear it? Picked up by Goff. Now forehand from Potapova. Goff with a defensive volley. Put away by Potapova. Second time of asking.
Well, you could probably put Neil Diamond's Sweet Caroline into that category, but I think it just gets people going. I love it.
It is a great sort of feel-good song. I don't personally like it. I know, exactly.
Sorry, I'm off. Marcus, can you take over? And, Chris has just been disparaging about Neil Diamond.
Not about Neil Diamond. I just don't like that particular song. Neil Diamond's a great songwriter. What else? I also find We're the Champions. I dislike that for one line in it. And this is me being probably a bit too over-picky. I dislike the line, no time for losers. I just think that is... That wrecks it as a sporting anthem. Backhand from Potapova into the net.
Austin said, isn't Fonseca an up-and-comer? I think, to be fair, we have talked about Fonseca quite a lot.
When did he have that big win at the Australian? Was it last year or the year before?
It was last year. He also had...
Yes, we beat Rublev, didn't he?
He also made a big splash in Miami, which is really also one of the places he really announced himself. And, of course, with a big kind of second-generation South and Central American population in Miami, he was a huge star there.
Goff has got a bottom over at the net and passes her comfortably. So Potapova, having got the break, is in danger of losing it, 15-30.
Well, shades of the first set where she was up a break, having broken in the opening game, and in the end, Goff just wore her down.
You're ready for Champions League matches at the quarter stage, which we wouldn't normally say in football, but they are taking a break quarter of the way through the match. 1-0 to Arsenal over Paris Saint-Germain. Potapova at 15-30 serves. Backhand return to the backhand of Potapova. Backhand from Goff. Deep to the backhand of Potapova. Forehand from Goff. Forehand from Potapova. Down the line is a winner. That's lovely. Really good point construction from Potapova.
Elizabeth likes the discussion about who should walk out to which songs. And she says, who should walk out to the Teletubbies theme? If you missed it, that was a discussion a couple of days ago.
Yes. Simon
was telling us about how Goran Ivanišević, when he won Wimbledon in 2001, was very, very superstitious. And one morning,
a tennis player superstitious. Good
exactly.
Heavens.
He'd watch Teletubbies, and then every day from then on, he had to watch Teletubbies all the way through.
Players are like that. They eat at the same restaurant every night. Some people will order the same meal every night. Good serve out wide by Potapova. And she holds.
Well, Zach in Urbana is a flautist. He's a classical flautist. So he said classical music gets the thumbs up from him.
Oh, very good. I think, I'm trying to think of some great sort of... Scheherazade. I think... Rimsky-Korsakov, I think that would be a great
he
one.
He went out in the first round, Chris.
He did, yes, exactly, yes. We were delighted that he wasn't playing on a match that we were covering because, yes, Rimsky-Korsakov against Starodubtseva.
0-15.
Nice return of serve from Potapova, and Goff is in the similar position she was in the first set. Back to the wall early on, love two. Goff serves, forehand returned. The backhand of Goff up the middle of the court. Forehand from Potapova, and Goff completely mishitting that forehand.
The way Potapova started this match, she could have walked out to AC/DC or something kind of quite thrash metal, because it was quite a kind of alpha presence on court, wasn't it, for those first few games.
Goff serves. Back and forehand return to the backhand of Goff. Goff nets. She completely misjudged the flight of that ball.
40.
And she's a love 40. So she's like a coach that's setting a trap for their charge. I mean, this is a terrible game for Goff. I mean, it's two love down, love 40. She came back from love 40 in the first game, but ended up losing.
Well, as our correspondent was saying, she can make things very stressful.
Yes.
She does
have a
way of making life slightly more difficult for herself than it needs to be sometimes.
Serve out wide from Goff to the backhand. Backhand from Goff now to backhand. Goff snatches at that backhand, puts it into the net, and it is 3-love for Potapova. Slightly strange match.
Well, it's had some strange undulations, hasn't it? Potapova, I don't think, has particularly raised her game. I mean, early on, I think Potapova just started the match much better than Goff did, and Goff found her way into it and started to play a bit better. Potapova's level slightly dropped.
I can tell you that Alejandro Tabilo has got a break in the third set against Moise Kwame. Leads 4-3 with a break. Are you happy with this music, Ellen?
I love this music. Big fan of Luther Vandross. I'm very good at... Now, there used to be a... Probably when you and I were children, used to be a game show on the UK called Name That Tune.
Oh, yes.
I was
that.
Always very good at it,
were you?
I have to say.
Okay, very good.
I can't remember anything useful, but I can always remember things like this.
Matteo Berrettini is serving at 5-6 in the fifth set to take the match against Francisco Comesaña into a deciding tiebreak. Matteo Arnaldi has lost his break, actually, in the second set. He's still a set-up, but he's having to serve now at 4-5 against Raphael Collignon. You're up to date with the scores. As the shadow starts to come over Philippe Chatrier Arena, Anastasia Potapova serving. She is happy with the pronunciation Potapova. I think in Russia they would say it slightly differently, but they'd also... She's happy with Anastasia or Anastasia. Forehand from Goff to the forehand of Potapova. Forehand from Goff up the back end wing. That's a lob from Potapova. Goff lets it bounce. It's just on her service line. She should smash this away. She doesn't. It goes back to Potapova. Drop volley from Goff. Potapova reads this down the line. A lob from Goff. That's going to go... No, it's not going to go long. Smashed by Potapova, but Goff is there. What a remarkable rally. Backhand from Goff. A drop shot by Potapova. Goff will get there. Pushes it up the line. A lob from Potapova. Goff raises back. She can't get the backhand volley into court. Amazing point. That gets the crowd going.
Extraordinary stuff and great resilience from both players, but particularly Potapova there. And may I say, a wonderful one-handed, left-handed catch from the photographer in the pit there, who caught that foul ball off the top of Coco Gauff's racket.
Which photographer was that? I didn't see it.
Down there in the black T-shirt. He was very casually, just reached out, caught the ball.
I think I know who that is.
He's got very good hand-eye coordination.
Look for my binoculars, which are probably in the bottom of my rucksack, like most Dells I own. Potapova at 15 love, serves the back and the Goff. Backhand from Potapova, looking for a very fine angle, which she doesn't get.
Cancel.
All on the Potapova serve. She's just about in the sunshine, but the shadow is right next to her, encroaching into her space.
Nancy says, I love you all. As you can see from the previous email, I've been listening now for many years. A note to Marcus Buckland. I'm sorry to say that one of my fourth grade students this year had two little 3D printed characters on her desk, and they were named, wait for it, Marcus and Carcass.
I don't know why I found that funny, but little things please little minds.
Thank you, Nancy. It's made our evening.
Potapova serves. Oh, just too long. And she hits a loose ball away in anger. And it clatters against the Renault sign on the net. 15-30 on the Potapova serve. Serves to the backhand of Goff. Lofted deep. Lofted on the backhand side from Potapova. They're both playing a long way behind the baseline at the moment. Forehand Goff. Forehand from Potapova. Backhand from Goff. Just clears the net. Forehand from Potapova. Comes forward. Goff goes down the line. That's a great shot from Goff. Wasn't the direction, it was the trajectory, which landed right at Potapova's feet.
15-40.
Well, break point.
No, that photographer that caught the ball isn't the person I thought it was. So, can't name check him. 15-40. Potapova does have two breaks, but she did let the lead in the first set slip. She serves out wide, but just too wide. Seconds. Serve. Backhand of Goff. Backhand from Potapova. Goff goes very deep on her backhand. Now tries to change direction, but Goff nets.
30-40.
It's an interesting match, this one. It's not been entirely even in terms of quality.
No.
It's intriguing rather than hugely entertaining, I would say.
Yeah, absorbing. There's also not been that much subtlety. How many drop shots have we seen? Two or three? Given how far back they're both playing, you'd have thought the drop shot would be an obvious option. Potapova serves into the net. Still break back point. Well, to get one of the breaks back for Coco Gauff. Second serve is in right up the tee. Lofted from Gauff, about a metre beyond Potapova's baseline. Strange forehand from Gauff. Though we have said that a few times over the years. Deuce on the Potapova serve. She is now standing in the shade. Serves out wide. Forehand return. Forehand from Potapova to the backhand of Gauff. Gauff has lost to this one, but long. Gauff's lost her range.
Potapova.
Certainly seems to be in a little dip in form here. I mean, it's not been a great set overall, but she has had hints of opportunities, had a break point in this game.
Serve into the net from Potapova. Second serve. Oh, it's a horribly long serve.
18.
That was a, what, a metre and a half, 2 metres beyond the baseline?
Another moment where the quality's really deserted this match.
Yes. It's been a curate's egg of a match. You know that expression. Backhand from Potapova, the forehand of Gauff. Backhand Potapova, cross court. Gauff is there with a two-hander, pushing Potapova back. Forehand from Gauff. Forehand from Potapova, cross court. Forehand from Gauff up the line. Backhand from Potapova, lofted. Gauff takes two steps back rather than stepping in to take it on the rise. Backhand from Gauff up the middle of the court. Slice from Potapova, forehand Gauff. Cross court, Potapova having to move very wide down the line. Backhand Gauff across court, but Potapova's readied. Forehand Gauff across court, forehand from Potapova. They're making use of all the court and Gauff nets.
Well, Potapova raising her fist, and that was much, much better from the adopted Austrian. She hit one shot right around the net post in the middle of that rally. That's better. But in the first set, she was a break up and allowed it to slip midway through the set. Gauff ended up winning that one 6-4. I think Potapova is wary of that happening again. She's just about keeping the fight back from Gauff at bay so far in the second set.
Point for four, love. A second point for that margin. 4-2 Berrettini leads as of changing ends in the final set tiebreak. Out on court, Simon Mathieu. Forehand from Potapova, backhand Gauff. Forehand from Potapova's netted.
Hey, Gaetier.
The greenhouse courts, court Simon Mathieu. To both sides, they have the most wonderful plants growing inside it. It's very much in the botanical gardens. Amazed they got planning permission to put it there, but having done so, they've made a really good job of it.
I think it's one of the
most charismatic courts.
Yeah, absolutely. Any of the Grand Slams,
yeah,
actually.
I agree.
I think it's very, very special place to watch tennis. And also, you get some great matches, you get some great contests, great atmospheres
out there.
It's
quite intimate, isn't it? Double fault from Potapova.
Been a couple in this game from Potapova, and another break point for Gauff. Chance to break back.
And what's she saying to her team?
It ended with please.
Yeah.
In a slightly cross voice. I think perhaps they're trying to give her a little bit of information or advice, and it's not being particularly well received.
You mean she's ungrateful?
No. I mean, maybe they need to choose their moments better.
That's a good serve from Potapova. The return went long. Well, more wide than long, actually. Deuce on the Potapova serve. She serves off the top of the net and it drifts wide. Second serve. No, not happy with that one.
It's Goff moving in a little bit on second serve, but not much.
Not much, no. She'll still take that good metre behind her baseline. Backhand from Potapova. Backhand from Goff up the middle of the court. Backhand Potapova. Forehand from Goff. Lofted deep to the forehand of Potapova. Forehand Goff. Backhand from Potapova. Again, 3 metres behind her baseline. Goff a little closer to hers. Forehand cross court now from Potapova is long.
Avantage Goff.
Well, the shady side of court, Philippe Chatrier, is actually about half full, but the sunny side is a lot more sparsely populated, quite understandably. 34 degrees was the predicted high here in Paris today.
We're getting to Louis Armstrong now, aren't we? On the sunny side of the court. Good not a good serve from Potapova. She was looking for the one down the tee.
Isn't that Van Morrison?
Was it originally his? And, no, Louis Armstrong did the...
Sunny Side of the Street?
Yes. That was Louis Armstrong, wasn't it?
I only know the Van Morrison version.
Do you?
But I bow to your greater knowledge.
Well, I think Louis Armstrong may have come first.
Sure, Goff.
Well,
Goff has
chronologically,
got one of the
certainly.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Do you know who will know the answer to this? Our listeners.
Yes, somebody will tell us. Exactly.
At radio underscore RG on the X platform. French Open Radio at FFT.fr. A lot of people are interested to know what's happening in the Berrettini-Pomisano match.
Yeah, well, they are back on serve in the tiebreak, 6-5. In fact, should we go to that for a few minutes?
I think we should, yes.
To get Stefan to take us to Simon Mathieu. And we will... Simon Mathieu. Where we've got Berrettini against Pomisano. Oh. Sunny Side of the Street was much, much earlier than either Louis Armstrong or Van Morrison. Some authors say Fats Waller was the composer. But he sold the rights to the song. 1930 song, composed by Jimmy McHugh with lyrics by Dorothy Fields. Wow. Meanwhile, on...
Dorothy Fields forever.
Meanwhile, on Simon Mathieu, it's 6 points all. 6 games all, 6 points all in the final set tiebreak.
Now, Berrettini hasn't been this far here at Roland Garros since 2021. So he's had a tough, tough time with injuries. He's really somebody who... You know, he was runner-up at Wimbledon and was very much at the top of the men's game. He just had injury after injury. This one coming up on 5 hours, so they're both going to be feeling it in the legs, aren't they?
Well, the stadium clock showing 5 hours exactly. Francisco Pomisano. Waiting to serve. Berrettini's keeping him waiting. Berrettini, much the taller of the two players. But Comisania's movement is excellent. Backhand return from Berrettini. Forehand from Comisania. A slice from Berrettini. Sits up for Comisania to hit the forehand away.
Set 6. Comisania.
So the Argentinian goes ahead. Pressure on Berrettini. Wimbledon runner-up from 2021. Played remarkably well in a final when he was really injured. Did very well to make a spectacle of it, but was never likely to beat Djokovic that day. Berrettini serves out wide, backhand return. Goes high. Is that going to go back into court? No, it's not. And it's 7 points all.
Set partout.
The winner of this will play either Juan Manuel Cirundolo or Martin Landolusi. Berrettini at 7-all. I'll give you the Landolusi Cirundolo score shortly. Berrettini serves down the centre. Chipped return. Forehand from Berrettini into out. A slice down the line. A low volley from Berrettini's netted. And Pomisano raises both arms and is looking to get the crowd involved. It's absolutely packed.
8-7.
On the Simon Mathieu, which is only a matter of 200 metres from the Stade Jean Bouin, where they've got a screen for the Champions League final going on. But it's full on the Simon Mathieu. And now a mini break for Francisco Comesaña.
Match tie break, remember.
It's 5-all fourth set in this Rwanda-Andalusia match. Serve from Comesaña, backhand return, forehand from Comesaña to the forehand of Berrettini. Drop shot by Comesaña, goes wide. I don't know, it was a very good drop shot. I think he wanted out of that point quickly.
Well, it was just the wrong choice of shot and poorly executed.
Yes, even if it had been well executed, I think Berrettini would have got there.
Merci, s'il vous plaît.
Eight all. Comesaña serves. Backhand return is short. A drop shot by Comesaña. Berrettini's there, but goes long with his backhand. And it's match point, Comesaña.
9-8. Comesaña.
Berrettini has a serve here. He's going to need it.
He's going to need the first one. And Nick Mejia. The crowd are aware of the enormity. 5 hours and 3 minutes they've been on course. Match point for Francisco Comesaña. Argentinian in a yellow shirt. Berrettini is in blue with a yellow racket. Berrettini facing match point. Serves out wide. Back and return is lofted high and drifting wide.
9-8.
Well, that serves such a key part of the Berrettini armory, and it's come to his rescue here. Little shot of Thomas Enqvist,
yes,
in the Berrettini box.
Yeah. Australian Open runner-up. It's to Evgeny Kafelnikov. You're going back 25 years for that and more.
Sadly, I remember it well.
Yes. Is that another chanting Matteo?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. I was just trying to discern it, really, but I think they are shouting that. I mean, there are plenty of fans for both of these men, and then probably a lot of neutrals who are just excited to see this grueling but spectacular match.
9 points all, final set tiebreak. Berrettini serving after they've changed ends. Serves down the centre, back and return, won't go back. Two excellent first serves, not quite the most powerful he hit, but that's a sign of somebody who knows what to do in the big moments. Get the first serve in,
Berrettini,
even if you have to take 10% off it.
Remember that drop shot?
Yes.
Is he going to pay for that?
He might do.
Comesaña has a serve here, but he's match point down.
Match point Berrettini, Comesaña serving to the backhand of Berrettini. Backhand from Comesaña, just clears the net, slice from Berrettini into the net. Oh, that was a tight backhand from the Italian.
10-8.
Well, you can't blame him. It must be impossibly tense out there.
Yeah, and what the players feel in their playing arm. You know, players talk about this sometimes, that you just, if you haven't been there, you can't understand just how tight the playing arm gets. Comesaña serves, backhand from Berrettini, backhand from Comesaña. Comesaña runs around his backhand, hit a forehand. Now hits another forehand off the frame, that's gone sky high. And won't, hasn't even come down yet. It has now, but it's landed in the crowd. And Comesaña is just looking at the service line. He believes
Berrettini.
That shot from Berrettini took a bad bounce. I don't know whether it did or not at this stage of the match, especially when you have a whipped forehand the way Comesaña does. There's always the possibility that you could frame it. So they've had a match point each. But this time Berrettini has a match point on his own serve. Berrettini, match point number two. He serves. Comesaña 4 metres behind his baseline. The serve was too long. Berrettini did take a bit of the pace off. The umpire, Aurélie Tort, has her arm up, basically saying to Berrettini, yes, definitely long. Second serve from Berrettini. Match point number two. Forehand return from Comesaña. Forehand from Berrettini. Goes back to the backhand of Comesaña. It's sliced. It's short. Forehand from Berrettini. It's long. Oh, was it long? Was it called long?
I think Comesaña thought it was long, and he stopped the point, and he's asked Aurélie Tort to come down and check the mark.
And he's ringed a mark, but without great conviction. Oh, it's given long. Oh, that was risky from Comesaña.
He must have been very sure or very fortunate.
The way he ringed it didn't look confident. I thought that would have been called good, and I thought it'd be a terrible way to end such a great match. 11 points all. Ospov is leading 4-2.
Merci,
on Philippe Chatrier. We will come back to that one. 11 all. Berrettini serves. Backhand return is lofted. Berrettini will flatten out this forehand, but it's a slice from Comesaña into the net. And he's looking tight, is Comesaña. They both are up to a point.
Who's
tight and tired?
Berrettini. Well, yes, exactly.
This is the third match point for Berrettini.
It is the third match point for Berrettini.
But on the Comesaña serve, Berrettini's had one on his own serve. And Comesaña's had one on Berrettini's serve.
Match point number three for Berrettini. Comesaña serves down the centre. Forehand return is chipped long. And we're at 12-all. And they change ends again.
Not an empty seat anywhere, certainly in the shaded parts of Court Simone Mathieu.
At moments like this, I think of James Van Allen, an eccentric resident of Newport, Rhode Island, actually founded the International Tennis Hall of Fame, but he used to invite players to play exhibition tournaments where he would try different things out with the rules of tennis. Basically say, go on, let's try something out, see if it makes tennis any better. And one of the things he tries was something called a tiebreak.
Good for him. I'm actually a big fan of the match tiebreak, that first to 10 format.
So
I think it gives people a chance to fight their way back in.
Yeah.
I think it's fair. I think it still has plenty of drama in it, as we're seeing right now. Two sets all, six all, 12 all in the match tiebreaker.
Yes. And it's great drama. And it comes down to a shootout. And yes, it's fine margins, but how do you separate players after 5 hours and 10 minutes? Comesaña, 12 all, he serves out wide, just too long. Second serve from the Argentinian. Serves into the body, forehand return from Berrettini, forehand Comesaña, off the frame of Berrettini's racket, it goes long. Again, he has a ripped forehand, and there's very little margin for error. It's what happens with
Comesaña.
These, the power to weight ratios of the modern rackets. They're quite light but powerful, so players can hit wristy forehands. But it does mean that if they get it slightly wrong, the ball can fly in strange directions. So this is a second match point for Francisco Comesaña at 13-12 in the tiebreak. Pressure on the Berrettini serve now. Berrettini, all in shade. Serves out wide, just missed it. He was going for the serve out wide to the backhand. Second serve on match point for Comesaña. Match point number two for the Argentinian. Berrettini serves, kicks it, forehand return. Backhand from Berrettini, just clears the net. A slice from Comesaña. Forehand Berrettini, into out. Comesaña at the backhand at full stretch. It's going to land just inside the Berrettini baseline. Berrettini with the forehand to the backhand of Comesaña. Berrettini runs around his backhand, goes into out. Comesaña's there with the slice. Pushes Berrettini back. Berrettini down the line. Forehand Comesaña cross court. Forehand Berrettini up the line. Backhand Comesaña. Backhand Berrettini with his two-hander. Backhand down the line. Comesaña is long. who went for it, who played quite cagily, had Comesaña, but on that backhand, he saw the opportunity, he went for it, and he hit it about half a metre long.
13 all.
Clever placement from Berrettini, especially given the circumstances, given the tension, given the fact that we're in the sixth hour of this match on court Simone Mathieu. And we said earlier, didn't we, how this court tends to produce drama, produce dramatic matches. We've certainly got one here, haven't we? 13 all.
Tabilo took the third set against Kwame, so he leads by 2-1. Potapova leads 5-2. Second set against Goff. Goff having taken the first. 13 all on the Berrettini serve. Berrettini goes down the centre, backhand return, lofted from Comesaña. That's long from the Argentinian.
14-13.
And it's match point number four Berrettini. For Berrettini. So it's Comesaña serving at 13-14. Match point number four for Matteo Berrettini. Comesaña serves. Backhand return is lofted. Where's that going to land? It's just inside the sideline. Comesaña goes down the line and misses. Berrettini raises both hands to the skies. Pats his heart. And the Wimbledon runner-up from 2021 is through to the fourth round. And what an opportunity he has at this Roland Garros. His racket still at the back of the court. The players embrace. It's very much a respectful embrace.
It's been a long, long and arduous road back from injury for Matteo Berrettini. And you can see the relief.
He's in tears
now. You can see
now.
The emotion on his face. And it's not a surprise. All those hours with the physios.
Yeah.
All those months and months desperate to get back onto the match court.
And wondering whether it's worth it. And you're thinking, I'll do it because I might have another day on a show court at a major, and here he's had it.
He would have dreamed of moments like this. I can't think that he could even imagine anything as dramatic as this, but what a match. And Berrettini just sitting with his cap pulled over his face. I'm sure he's in tears as he sits there, listens to the joyous singing ringing round the whole of Court Simone Mathieu. Well, that was quite a match, wasn't it?
Wow. That was remarkable. Potapova has a set point on Philippe Chatrier, so we're going to go straight back to Chatrier. I'd love to stay a bit longer for the Berrettini celebrations, but it's all happening here. And we're about to have a commentary change as well as Potapova serves. The set point was saved. We've got Marcus Buckland and Courtney Walsh coming in. We could have changed over then. It's a slightly different atmosphere as Coco Gauff goes long on a forehand. And so Potapova with the second set point is to take this match into a final set. Potapova serving. Nope, not yet. Sound of a siren in the background. The alarm bell's ringing for Goff. Potapova serves. Misses. Long. Second serve. To the forehand of Goff. That's a clean winner from Goff.
Hey, Gaethje.
This feels a little less dramatic.
It does at the moment, but you know, give another hour when it could be, you know, 13-12 in a deciding tiebreak.
Potapova still struggling with her ball toss, and that's been going on throughout this set.
Forehand return from Goff to the backhand of Potapova. Potapova nets.
Avantage, Goff.
I think that at the end of this game, whether it's set or 5-3, I think we ought to hand over to Marcus and Courtney, if only because you're back on duty in about an hour and 20 minutes, aren't you, Eleanor?
I am indeed.
I think we need to
give the listeners a break.
Clear a path through to the canteen for you. Second serve from Potapova. Goff with the backhand return of serve. Deep to the backhand of Potapova. Goff with the backhand in the middle of the court. It's a bit cagey from both. Oh, that's good depth from Potapova. Now backhand from Goff. Deep to the backhand of Potapova. Goff with the backhand into out. Forehand Potapova up the middle. Forehand Goff. Forehand Potapova. Both just looking for the advantage. Neither really going for anything big at the moment. Now it's a change of direction from Potapova. It goes long. Goff gets one of her breaks.